By the end of the 1992 season, Barry Bonds was widely considered to be the finest all-around player in the game. Bonds was just 28 years old, yet that year he would win his second MVP award, leading the National League in runs scored and the majors in walks, on-base percentage, and slugging, as well as swatting 34 home runs, batting .311, and winning his third consecutive Gold Glove award. No one was too surprised. Bonds came from excellent baseball stock, the son of San Francisco Giants star Bobby Bonds. When he was just 2 years old, little Barry reportedly hit a wiffle ball so hard that it broke a window. Barry was a great player in Little League, his father would remember. Every place he went, he's become the best player. When he was five, he started accompanying Bobby to Candlestick Park, where he learned the game at the knees of his father and his godfather, the immortal Willie Mays. But Barry learned more than just baseball. He also learned how the game could grind people down and the price it extracted for greatness. Working his way up through the minors in the Jim Crow South of the 1960s, Bobby Bonds had been called coon, darky, and nigger, and turned away from all-white restaurants, even banned from swimming in the local segregated pool. Lonely and humiliated, Bobby turned increasingly to a drinking habit he had inherited from his father. His talent was undeniable, combining speed and power to a degree that had almost never been seen before. Before he was finished, he won 3 Gold Gloves, and on 5 different occasions, he hit over 30 home runs and stole more than 30 bases in the same season, a feat that had only been accomplished previously by Ken Williams back in the 1920s and by Mays himself. Yet Bobby's drinking and the controversies that sometimes resulted led him to being passed around to 7 teams in as many years and brought a premature end to his career. Barry Bonds saw much of this firsthand. He saw Willie Mays, exhausted from the demands of 20 years as a superstar, insist only on being left alone and advising Bobby not to trust anyone, just to look out for number one. By his senior year in high school, Barry was one of the best players in California. His father's old team, the Giants, offered him $70,000 to sign, but then passed when he asked for just $5,000 more. Barry went to Arizona State University instead and signed 3 years later with Pittsburgh. After just 115 minor league games, he made the big club. There, it soon became evident that he was an even greater star than his father had been, a 5-tool player able to hit for power and average, steal bases, throw, and field his position like few others. His baseball intelligence was readily apparent, and from the beginning he played the game with a veteran's poise and confidence. If he handles himself the way he is capable of, he's going to be a consistent star for years, predicted his manager, Jim Leland, while a teammate agreed that one day Barry would put up numbers no one could believe. The numbers came readily enough. Twice in his first 7 years in the majors, Barry matched his father's old feat of hitting 30 home runs and stealing 30 bases in the same season. Along with the Gold Gloves and the MVPs, he led Pittsburgh to 3 straight division championships. Yet off the field, Barry was often prickly and combative. "My job does not say walk in the locker room and kiss butt. It says go to work," he told reporters, and he seethed over how a less talented white outfielder for the Pirates, Andy Van Slyke, had become the Pittsburgh fans' favorite player. Barry's hostility was reciprocated, particularly when he struggled in the postseason, hitting only .191 with 1 home run in 3 league championship series. Pittsburgh failed to make the World Series, and even his fellow Pirates grew tired of his attitude. "I'd rather lose without Barry Bonds than win with him," declared one teammate. His wish was granted. After the heartbreaking loss in Atlanta to end the 1992 season, Bonds was a free agent, eligible to sign with any major league team he chose. Meanwhile, Peter McGowan, heir to a San Francisco supermarket fortune, had bought the floundering Giants and was determined to move the team out of windy, bone-chilling Candlestick Park and into an inviting new downtown stadium. McGowan needed a marquee attraction, and the perfect hometown hero was available. In 1993, he signed Barry Bonds to a record 6-year, $43.75 million contract. It was a splendid homecoming. At the press conference to announce his signing, Barry stood crying openly between Willie Mays and his father, who had not taken a drink for 4 years and would now serve as a Giants coach. "It's like a boyhood dream that came true for me," Barry said, holding up the Giants jersey he would wear with his father's old number 25 on the back. "All I've ever wanted to do was share something with my father. This is the greatest moment in my entire life." Barry's too proud. When he first won his MVP, it was, "You know, I gotta get another one." He was possessed with getting another one. His father lauded him to the press. It's in his mind, "I want more, I gotta get more." He's just too proud. He wants to be the best. I mean, he's just not going out there playing. He wants to be the best. Giants fans were ecstatic. Behind the scenes, Bonds soon proved to be as hostile and alienating as ever to teammates, reporters, and club officials. But between the white lines, Barry earned a record-tying third MVP award, hitting .336, winning another Gold Glove, topping the league in home runs, RBIs, slugging, and on-base percentage, and leading the Giants, who had finished next to last the year before, to within a game of the division title. The native son was back.